They need to be guided. And that's what Montessori does. Maria Montessori, Dr. Maria Montessori believed that kids could guide and lead their own education, which is opposite of what we do now in education.
Right.
We do a lot of the guiding and we do a lot of the pushing and we do a lot of the, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And so what is so creative about helping kids overcome things that are hard for them is helping them face the very thing that they're scared of and helping them work through it. And so the concept behind Montessori is let the child struggle. Let the child do it. And it's okay if they don't get it the first, second or third time.
Yeah.
We just are there to support and guide them and facilitate by having this prepared environment, excited to learn, and making sure that they understand like the expectations and see where they go. It's a very different way of thinking. And so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Chana Courtney, and my special guest today is Shanina Drawn. Shanina is the head of school at Maycomb Montessori Academy, and that's in Warren, Michigan. Shanina, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you became the head of school and your experience and what's going on in Maycomb.
Yeah, so Maycomb Montessori Academy.
Maycomb, sorry about that.
It's within their 10th year. It is a Montessori, urban Montessori school. Before I came to Maycomb Montessori Academy, I worked as a dean of student at another charter school for about 9 years in a very traditional public kind of scene. A lot of workbooks, a lot of standing up and teaching in front of the kids. And I felt that kids needed more creativity, more engagement, more collaboration, more partnerships. Things that would get them ready for the world. Because what I noticed in those environments, working kindergarten through eighth grade in that school, that traditional, whatever I tell you, you think style, there was more behavior issues, more kids not really listening and following directions. And I wanted something different. So 4 years ago, this is my fourth year being the head of school at Maycomb Montessori Academy, I learned about the opportunity to give kids a space where they can think for themselves, where they can have an opportunity to be creative. When we were introduced a concept of learning, like we all do, but then they get to engage in a higher order of thinking that was not done previous to where I worked. So I feel like, you know, in education, it is such a great opportunity for us to learn and work together. But I do feel like the kids need to drive that. They need to be guided. And that's what Montessori does. Maria Montessori, Dr. Maria Montessori believed that kids could guide and lead their own education, which is opposite of what we do now in education.
Right.
We do a lot of the guiding and we do a lot of the pushing and we do a lot of the, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. And so what is so creative about helping kids overcome things that are hard for them is helping them face the very thing that they're scared of and helping them work through it. And so the concept behind Montessori is let the child struggle. Let the child do it. And it's okay if they don't get it the first, second or third time.
Yeah.
We just are there to support and guide them and facilitate by having this prepared environment, excited to learn, and making sure that they understand like the expectations and see where they go. It's a very different way of thinking. And so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I just did a podcast with Dr. Christine Powell, and she's an expert on executive function. And that is exactly what you are talking about.
It is.
That is exactly
the executive function is something that you have to learn over time. It is something that is taught to you. And a lot of times we expect these like 9 or 10 year olds to think like 20 year olds. Well, what have we put in place to teach time management? Organization skills, sorting skills, you know, all of these skills that help them become amazing individuals and, you know, citizens that are going to do right by our country. It has to be taught in elementary school early on. It's like if you get it in middle school and high school, it's almost too late. And so to have that ability to teach executive skills early on, that 0, 5 years old up until 7 or 8, it goes a long way. So it's a very powerful, powerful opportunity to help. I really hope along the way we change the way we think in that.
And I think too, and she said the same thing. It's not something that is innate. It has to be taught. You have to teach kids how to use their executive function skills. And she said the same thing, that they're seeing, and those that are using her services are seeing much less behaviors. They're seeing a lot less of, because they're learning how to regulate themselves, self-regulation and, you know, social emotional. And I was tying it back to that, because social emotional learning is such a buzzword and such a big deal in education right now. Yeah, everybody's talking about it, which is, education does that. You and I know that. I mean, we go through cycles of different things, but that is so, it's just, and I think that we've gotten to the place where the almighty phone has become something that, yeah, that have taken that away. And kids don't, there's no self-regulation unless you learn how to shut it off. Even adults, I struggle with it sometimes. My phone tells me how long I've been on it. And I was like, I was on my phone too much.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Definitely overstimulates the kids. I totally agree with that. One of the things I did at Macomb Montessori Academy is put in a social emotional learning special, just like they have gym, just like they have art or music. It is special here. One would say, well, why would you use that instructional time to do that? Because soft skills are just as important as academic skills.
Yes, they are.
And so gym is important, music's important, art's important, math's important. And so we do develop the whole child here. And my model is relates to making sure that that kid understand empathy, making sure they understand what kindness really is, and understanding conversations. And that goes like, I don't like it when you do that. It hurts me, right? You would think that's so simple, but many kids don't have that vocabulary. And so when they don't understand that and they haven't processed that, their feelings, they act out. And if they come from environments that are trauma-based, and you and I know a lot about that, it's hard to educate kids in that environment. The need becomes, I'm not safe. I don't know why I'm here. And so I'm just going to take it out on everybody. So that social emotional learning class here at MMA, it's so funny. I had to fight for it. I had to write for it. I'm like, it is a priority as a part of us, just as much as math is, because I want the kids to feel that they're safe. So then they become better learners. That's how this works.
Yeah.
And so powerful to make that a priority, mental health. But I do think it needs to be a part of the curriculum and embedded in our everyday, not just as a, you know, when something happens or, you know, like we can tell that sometimes it's a part of a trend. It's like, it's what we do here. We tell people how we feel. We have circle time. We learn how to breathe. These are the things that we do in our culture. It's very important for me as a principal.
Yeah. Yeah. And your kids win. Now, I missed it. Are you guys K-12 or K-8?
Yeah. We have a preschool program up until sixth grade. Our school is about 255 kids. It's one big hallway. It's truly a family environment. We have 12 lovely, amazing teachers. And in a Montessori model, you get teacher aides. So the beauty in that, there's two teachers in the classroom. Because ideally, the teacher is working in small groups and the other kids are working on their work plans. And so there's this collaboration of the classroom. And so we're a small school, but we're a mighty school. And we've made so much growth and understanding, not just the Montessori model as we continue to work on that, but each other as a community. I mean, we're living in a world where there's so much going on. And the kids and the staff, they all bring that to the building and helping each other process that as human beings. Sometimes we just get so focused on human doing. We are human.
Oh, I like that.
Did you do this? Did you do that? Like, check on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are you doing? Like, that is the beginning of community. You can't ask somebody to learn if you ain't asked them how they're really doing. So that is a big piece. We will do the human doing, but like, how are you doing? Are you okay? What is it that you need? And once you get that out, I really find in education that kids are more likely to learn. They want to hear from you because you checked on them. It's just like with my boss. You know, I have a superintendent. I say, you know, when I'm not okay, she's like, I can tell on the phone. I'm like, thank you for checking on me, right? So it's such a powerful thing. And I'm really big on that as an education, as therapeutic. Is we would love not to be, we have to be therapeutic first in order to get those kids to learn. I know it's hard. I tell them all the time, but we have to do it.
Say it again for me. I honestly am being a little bit selfish here, but I want it for a real. I want them to be able to cut it out. And I've talked over you. So say that saying again for me so people can hear it. And I'm not, hold on one second. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Go.
it is important for us to make sure that we are checking on human beings versus what human doing is doing. So we want to make sure that we are checking on those human beings versus always worried about what human beings are doing. It is essential to our environment for learning, not only emotionally, but academically.
Are you struggling to keep speech therapy fully staffed or tired of high turnover? You're not alone. At Lighthouse Therapy, our speech language pathologists are seasoned professionals, and most of them have over 16 years of school-based experience. They're not just qualified, they're consistent, relational, and results-driven. We offer three flexible delivery models: virtual therapy, hybrid therapy, and in-person therapy. It's speech therapy done right for you and your students. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
Absolutely. 1000%. I love that. Thank you for indulging me, because I was like, man, I talked over and I wish I hadn't, because I know that. And for our listeners, we're not going to cut it out. We'll just, it might become a reel. Like we do set it. We do pull out great sayings and such for our shorts and on TikTok. We do have some on TikTok. So, but it's just really, it's so important what you said. And I'm just like, dang, I want to have a nice clean. And the editors and my marketing staff, as always, my producers are like, good for you. You got that clean for me. So what would you say right now for you is one of your biggest challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is trying to find this balance in education. One of the things that we're doing is we're doing a lot of assessing and testing kids all the time. NWA, iReady, MSTEP, all of these tests and assessments. And don't get me wrong, it's important to know where a kid is. They got to hit certain benchmarks, state standards. But I do think we need more than one indicator, okay? You know, and for me, it's what else can we do other than being marked by a test? What are we doing? Because sometimes teachers and students associate themselves about whether or not they're good enough. Going back to the human being. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I know that kids and the teachers are not their test scores, but that's what the states see. I would love to see a more comprehensive assessment of how you work with the school as it relates to a more holistic approach. Okay. And it's just not test scores. I just think we missed the mark on that. And that's the challenge, because there's a lot of schools that are not doing well in Michigan. You've seen the studies. Relates to the math and the reading scores, the percentile that we're getting, we're not even making, gateway of reading. And so we do all the science of reading. We're doing all the training. And I know the teachers are working hard. I know the kids are working hard, but we're missing the mark somewhere. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is how do we help assess kids and staff in schools without making them feel like they're a burden? And I think that sometimes it's like the state, like, we got to do more. We got to do this. This MSTEP is that. So that's the biggest challenge, is trying to meet all the state requirements while also taking care. I'm going to go back to it, the human being. That's a challenge for me as a leader. Social and emotionally, it hits me really hard. Just to be very honest with you, I stay up at night thinking about that, because you have to care for people, and you've done this many, many years. You know what that looks like. And so it's hard, because you want to meet the state standard. You got to stay open. You have to do all these things that the state tell you. But I also would hope that we collaborate, that is more of a human approach and more of a comprehensive approach to learning than just tests.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes back to what you said in the very beginning about how you guys are succeeding. And I was thinking about that, but I didn't say it because I didn't want to interrupt you. But it is the absolute point. You know, I Brighter Together is about getting the stories out there of schools, because when you have to, you know, get those benchmarks, do those testing, do that, and you're teaching to that. And, you know, schools are trying to teach to that, to bring those test scores up so that they can show the schools, show the state, show the government that, yes, we are doing what you asked us to do. Yes, we're trying everything we can to increase, but you're putting a burden on them in a way that is not giving a true picture of what is happening. And that, to me, is a tragedy. It's a tragedy, because there are.
Thank you.
There are so many amazing things that are happening in education,
And yet you hear in the media, all you hear is exactly what you said, that test scores are down, blah, 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 about how bad things are and how horrible things are in education and what a bad job we're doing. And it just infuriates me. It absolutely infuriates me because they don't know. They don't. And I think part of it too, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, because I think part of the problem, I try to stay not political. I really do try to stay not political. But I think too much, we as educators, and it isn't any of our fault, but what has happened is we let government go way too far into education. All of the money comes from the government. We're dependent on the government. I was talking to another school, you know, we depend on these grants and we depend on this and we depend on that. And we're so dependent for the funds to be able to educate. You know, when education started, that was not the model. That was not how, and I think,
that,
I don't know.
And
how,
it was better too. It was bad 20 years ago.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And it's in the pot. You're correct.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
In the pot that don't understand what you and I work through, every kid mm-hmm. has a different story. Every right. family has a different story. And I accommodate, everybody got an IEP in my building, just to be honest.
Yeah.
But I accommodate individual education plans because that's where they're at. We meet kids where they're at.
Yeah.
And so when we had the great opportunity of Governor Lieutenant Gilchrist coming to my school in March of this year.
Great.
Boy, did I seize the moment. Okay. He's the governor. He's right next to our amazing governor that's exiting out very soon. And I had to tell the story as a small charter school, just what you said. You got to give us more as it relates to the resources. If you guys are going to control it, you got to hear our stories. I made my kids. They were really great. They talked to him and communicated because he needed to see that when I work with our kids, we did a wax museum. They had to pick a character. They picked an African-American character and they lived it, right? They researched it, they dressed up, they had poster boards. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And he watched them do their 30-second speech and he was blown away with these little kids, you know, second and third graders, fourth and fifth graders doing this level of work. That's mm-hmm. what we need to see. That's what we need to hear. Not always about what he didn't do. Do we need to focus on benchmarks? Absolutely. But it should not be the only indicator for a school to be successful anywhere in this country. Mm-hmm. And so as we move forward, we really need to figure this out in a way that it helps kids become successful and not another statistic on a test score.
Right.
Frustration with you. And I agree that we are going to change it. It starts with our mindset and getting some people out of the pot. It's too many people.
Yeah. Too many hands in the pot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Too many special projects. Too many pet projects. You know, good grief.
Oh, wow.
Good grief. Yeah. I'm not a policymaker. I'm not a decision maker in any of that stuff. Yeah. But I also think that just how schools are funded is backwards and upside down. And the whole system needs a revamp. I mean, you know, it's like, why do schools with $1 million homes have more money? Well, when you talk about taxes, hello, where's the money coming from? I know I'm probably going to get somebody mad at me for all of that, but I don't care. You know, it's like,
it's important to have all the
perspective. Take care of the kids.
Yeah. And everybody knows it's broken, but the reality is it takes a sense of boldness and a sense of creativity. You know, we still line up roles like they did in the early 1950s. Nobody learns like that. Even in our work meetings, we're not sitting in roles. We're sitting there collaborating on notes. We're talking across the table. You can't expect kids to be prepared if you don't teach them collaboration, teamwork, project management, communication with presentation skills. That is where the educational system should be rolling. And I will promise you, a kindergartner can do that. My kindergartners collaborate on the floor with math and have full-blown conversations about 1 + 2. It's hilarious. They can do it.
But take a three-year-old that wants that toy and they can do it. You know, they can negotiate with you. They can use their language skills. They can use their little eyes at their grandma, you know, whoever it is.
So if you go through that and you build a human being on those indicators that make people success, and you look at studies that show what a successful person that can run a business or work with other people. Yes, you need to know how to add and read and multiply, but most of it is communication, critical thinking skills, collaboration, empathy, learning how to deal with when you don't get your way, flexibility. Those are the things that we're supposed to be setting kids up. And man, oh man, we're just not there yet. We got to get there. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. But we have people that care and stuff like this. And I've said it before on this show. I'm a Christian. I believe that we have the God of the universe on our side. So we just keep moving toward the center and putting those kids in the middle of what we do. And that's what matters. So, well,
absolutely.
Shanina, this has been an incredible conversation. I wish I had more time. I really do. But I have to go. But where can people come and learn about you and ask you questions? How can they find you?
Absolutely. Well, you can go on our website. We are sending people to our website, MacombMontessoriAcademy.com. MacombMontessoriAcademy.com. The phone number, the address. We have an amazing Facebook page. You can like our Facebook page. We're open to visitors. We're always doing enrollment. I'm incredibly thankful for the staff and support. I am chartered through Choice Schools, which is an amazing charter school company that really helps me to be unique. There's not a lot of urban Montessori schools. And a lot of Montessori schools you normally have to pay for. This is a free public
charter
school.
Yeah,
and
fantastic.
It's a wonderful charter school that gives more options. So I am always willing to speak, willing to help, willing to support, and whatever I can, because I do believe, like you said, we got to change some things and we got to work together to do it. So thank you for the opportunity to speak so freely, because it is for the kids. And so if we don't start thinking about them 10 years from now, we're not going to be happy. So we got some work to do. But like you said, there's some great things and God is in it. So it's going to work out in the end. It always do.
And always does. Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you again for being on the Brighter Together podcast, because we really are brighter together.